heaven high, heaven high.
Nice. Not bad. Good timing on that one. welcome, stoners. Welcome to another episode of I'm Too Effin' High. This is the show where we get comedians high on cannabis, have them do comedic challenges to prove that marijuana makes everything funnier. It's a podcast. It's a live stream. It's a live show when we do live theater, but live theater is forever dead. So this is, you know, what's going to replace it for at least the next probably, I would say, 100 years. That's my guesstimate. Is it based on facts? No. Is it based on an overwhelming feeling of dread and doom every day and just a negative thought pattern? Yes, absolutely. That's how I'm making most of my choices these days. I hope you're making smarter choices than I am on a daily basis, including smoking a lot of weeds. And we're really excited about this show. We're really excited to have you guys.
You say you hope people are smoking a lot of weed or are not smoking a lot of weed?
Are smoking a lot of weed. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good, in my world, that's a good choice. That's a smart choice for your life.
Yeah. Honestly, I've never that, you know, the classification of dispensaries as essential businesses in California, never been more clear than during this time.
Like, it's, oh my God, yes.
Absolutely. Thank God for this stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't even imagine if I wasn't able to be high as I was just in my one bedroom apartment all day, every day for 4 months straight. I need this shit, Gavin Newsom. I need this shit. Keep it going. Give it to me for free. That would be great too. That voice you just heard, that man that you just met, that is my right hand man, my high co-host, DJ Blue Dream.
Weed every day, smoke weed. We smoke weed every day. Weed every day, smoke weed. We smoke weed every day. Smoke weed, we smoke weed every day. Every weed, smoke weed every day. Smoke weed every day. Smoke weed every day.
All right.
How you doing, DJ Blue Dream?
Doing all right, you know. Doing all right. It's a weird time. Mm-hmm. Glad to be here. Good to be back. I see our some of our favorite regulars are here. What's up, Vengeance Goon, Kevy? We missed you guys too.
Thanks for being here, guys.
Yeah, nice little hiatus, but also I missed, you know, getting the high with funny people doing a show. That's great.
Me too. Me too. Shall we meet our high comedians, our guests here?
We should indeed.
Oh yeah, let's do it. They both are high. We talked to them beforehand. We'll figure out how high they are in a moment. And they're both hilarious comedians. We're very lucky to have them on the show. Please welcome DC Pearson and Ruha Taslimi.
Ganja babe, my sweet ganja babe. I love the way you love me and the way you misbehave. Ganja babe. My sweet ganja babe, come wake my body,
welcome,
I take my mind away.
How's it going? Good, good. Thank you so much for being here. So, DC, I'll start with you. This is your first time on the show. We're super excited to have you here. Why don't you tell our audience what your current relationship to cannabis is?
My current relationship to cannabis is basically how it's been, you know, ever since I was a teen, which is every 18 months, I think like, why do I never get high? And then I do it. And then I'm like, oh, right, this is why, because it makes me feel like all of my five senses, one at a time in order, like in repeat. And I don't enjoy that very much. And every time I do it, somebody's like, you got to just push through that, man. You got to keep going. And I feel like I never really have. So maybe this is that gateway moment. I don't know, but that's kind of where I'm at with weed at this time in my life.
You know, we've had a ton of, we've been doing this show for almost 5 years now. We've had quite a few comedians come on that similarly had you know, maybe a shaky relationship with cannabis. And, you know, always want to let you know that if at any point during the show, you know what I mean? Like you start to get paranoid or you start to get any sort of anxiety or something, we're super chill. So you can let us know and we can, you know, talk it out. This is totally, this is a chill space.
Thank you.
Chill space. Yeah,
thank you.
For sure.
The anxiety that I'm having is that we're 4 months into quarantine and this is still my best self-tape setup.
Yeah.
Oh man. Well, I don't know if you heard my negative prediction in the beginning there, but you're gonna have the next 100 years to work on this.
Don't
give yourself a hard time.
James, I just want to thank you for being the one to deliver the news. sat there and I was like, oh yeah.
Yeah. It's not based on anything but feelings.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
That's how I'm feeling.
Nothing but feelings and every possible outside indicator.
Yeah.
Yep. Feelings and all known input.
Yeah.
I would love to see everyone's, like, contrast, everyone's plans before quarantine for what they thought they would definitely get done by the end of quarantine and then the reality, like the self-tape setup thing. Because mine would be like the most ambitious laundry list, and then about like five of those things I've done.
Yeah.
Well, mine was like really not ambitious because I was just like, I'm exhausted. I'm just kidding. As much as it's a transition and whatever, I was like, I'm just going to try to give in. The problem is it's hard to do that. Like even though I don't know, like, I feel busy no matter what I do. So I'm like, well,
like, it's funny you say that, though.
All the time, I still feel so busy.
It's funny you say that, though, Ruha, like, because I've actually been trying to work on building a relationship to napping.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been a very bad napper because capitalism is deep in my core and makes me feel guilty if I'm not constantly producing. And so you were saying I'm exhausted. I've been exhausted and I've been allowing myself to nap. So one thing that might be beneficial for me coming out of this, maybe I'll nap more.
Yeah.
There's definitely benefit. I definitely feel like little things like that have been the silver lining of a terrible, awful global situation.
Yeah.
But these little small wins, I'm just going to take them. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, take them and hold on to them. Yeah.
Definitely an up close relationship with myself I'm in the most intimate relationship with myself that I've ever been in.
That
have a history of a lot of things to work out. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome, though.
That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
While we're talking about your relationship to yourself, let's talk about you, Ruha. Welcome back. Welcome back on the show. Let our audience know what your current relationship to cannabis is.
It's been a complicated one.
Fair.
As you both know, I was in a very close relationship for a long time. I don't know.
We blazed many times.
Yeah. Was very into it. And not that I'm not, I don't know if it's totally for me. I started to feel like I wasn't my best me when I was high. And maybe that's me and not weed. I 100% own that. I feel like it just like amplified that I still had like an anxious brain more than I maybe thought.
Yeah.
I don't know. It slowly like I started to be like, this is stressful to me. As much as I think I like it. And
good for you.
To escape, it's stressful. And then obviously I started smoking again when this happened. but just like just in the evening, but it's still like, it still felt like a lot. And then I just eventually get to a place where I'm like, oh, I want to clear my brain a little bit.
Yeah.
So I'm in one of those right now. So I'm very high.
Well, I'm sorry that we interrupted your brain clearing session and got you high.
It's actually great because I think it's contributing to like being able to be high while having a brain clearing session, but my tolerance is
like, yeah.
Hello.
You know, it's I think it's so healthy the way you said that. Like, you know, I like to ask the question about like, what is your relationship to cannabis? Because I think, you know, relationships, they change, they morph, they evolve, you take a step away, you come back, you're closer, like all these things happen. And I think that that's, I think that happens with, you know, weirdly enough, even substances.
Oh yeah.
Like weed or sometimes alcohol or
all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And
do you think anyone,
for sure there was a time where like the positive was huge for me. Like I've had chronic pain, I think, as you both know, a lot of like health trauma, and it like helped take the edge off of me when I was dying. So in a lot of ways, it like saved my life at a time too. And then slowly I was like, oh, I don't know if I need it anymore. And maybe I, because I have all this health stuff. So I'm like, maybe I should try with you know, both. And it's funny because I love it enough that I do go back to it, like even though like 100% my research is done, I am better without.
Yeah. Right. But occasionally it'll be late at night and you'll be like, oh, I could really use just one hit, just one little hit.
Half the time, that's great. Half the time when I'm high, which is how I knew to like stop, I would just immediately be like, you have to stop. Like the part of my brain was just like, and I was like, okay, I can't think this every time. What's the point of doing it?
Yeah.
And then like beating myself up about it. I love to beat myself up.
That's not good.
That's
love it. Well, welcome guys. Welcome. This is great. Super excited to have you both. So let's get to our first segment here, shall we? We've got a really, I'll explain the theme in a moment because we've got a very fun random theme here in a second. But this first segment of Comedic Challenges is called the Hypothetical Situation. Hypothetical Situation. So the hypothetical situation is basically you guys are high and I'm going to give you a hypothetical situation. You're going to act it out together. All right. And the theme for today needs a setup. So let me give you the setup here so that you understand the theme. On this day in 2005, Lance Armstrong became the first person ever to win 7 Tour de France's in a row. So today's theme will be cheating.
You know,
cheating
it's funny.
Is the theme.
That's, oh God, I'm so high. I don't know if I can articulate at this point. But
try.
What if, like, in old Shakespeare plays, the way he set up the theme was a character came out and said, "So the theme needs a little bit of setting up for this."
Yeah. Oh, we're not subtle with our themes on this show.
Cheating, great.
Cheating, yeah. Quick question. Did you guys used to like cheat in high school on tests or anything like that?
No, Ruha, you're shaking your head no.
Oh yeah, I'm a no. I think one time in middle school, I let a kid cheat off me, which was like way more my style. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've done that, but when I was bad at the subject, so that kids would cheat off me and just get bad grades. It made no sense.
That's funny.
The only time that I definitively like really cheated was I was a sophomore and in high school, and we had to read Tale of Two Cities. And it was like this whole long semester thing where everybody knew, like, oh, there's this Tale of Two Cities study guide. It fucking sucks. Like, you got to do the whole thing, whatever. And so one kid did it, and then like websites were new, and he was like, I put all the answers on a website. The teachers will never find it. They got no idea what that is. And so all of the kids in Honors English went onto this website because we knew what that was and cheated off of it, except I didn't get the answers from the website. I was dating a senior at the time who had kept her Tale of Two Cities study guide, and it was the same one. And so I cheated off of her actual analog just packet, and they ended up figuring out what a website was, and the school was furious, and like all of the they ended up getting all of the kids like IP addresses, or I don't know if they just looked at like the specific answers that they put down or whatever, but they figured out who all had cheated off the website, and I didn't get in trouble because I cheated the old fashioned way.
Nice. Wow. That's impressive. That's smart. That's really smart. The old, the paper, man. You can't go analog. Wrong with paper. Yeah. Analog. Your first hypothetical situation here.
I'm sorry, I'm about to do a scene, so I couldn't have the weird.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Yeah. You two host a call-in radio show called 21 Cheat Street, where you give advice on how to cheat your way through any aspect of life. Does that make sense? And DJ Blue Dream and myself, we'll turn our cameras off, but we will call in and ask questions about how we can cheat our way through a certain aspect of life. Cool? Okay. Awesome. And
DJ I'll play you Blue guys Dream, in.
Yeah, if you want to give them a little intro music.
Hey, you're listening to 21 Cheat Street. I'm your co-host, Cheatsy Johnny. Here with me is my other co-host.
Hi, you all know me, Cheetah Simpson.
And we are taking all your calls about the way to cheat your way through life. Both of us have no credentials to be DJs. We were just... janitors at the station started the show and boldly chose to make it a show about cheating your way through life, even though we've cheated to a station that we have ourselves.
That's right. We have cheated, not a thing, but we talk about the cheat and we give the heat on the cheat, because this is 21 Cheat Street, the undercover cheating show. You know, when I came to this place to work as a janitor, I thought, I knew so little about what we do here that I thought I was going to be on camera someday.
I also thought that there was a video component as well, but it's just a radio show, so everything is completely going to waste. Let's take some calls. First caller, you're on the air, 21 Cheat Street.
Yeah, hello there. Hi.
I just want to be clear, caller, that you're on the air and not on camera.
Not on video.
Oh, I put this jacket on for no reason. I'm sorry. I thought that this was television. Oh, good to know. I have a question for you. I have to get my car registration updated. And to be honest, I really just don't want to. It's expensive and it's a hassle. How can I cheat my way out of this? How can I, you know, not get my car registered, but also not get towed or not get pulled over?
That's a great question. And my first idea is,
oh, thank you.
Is hide your car under a pile of leaves.
Always, like when I'm driving, just always have it be under a pile of leaves.
Oh, don't drive.
Oh, don't try.
Just hide your car under a pile of leaves, and then you won't ever have to pay.
I didn't even.
Another okay. Registration.
Yeah, because okay. Even if you plan on not operating your car, just leaving it parked on the street for a long period of time, you're going to have to file for something called planned non-operation. And that in and of itself is just paying to have a car that you're not even driving. So you see, there's no way to escape it other than hiding your car underneath a pile of leaves, never driving it, and just hoping that nobody rakes or leaf blows the leaves away. Mm. I will try to do it in like a larger area full of leaves. Mm-hmm. Hopefully in some place that's basically always autumn.
Honestly, this is really great because I also have a huge pile of leaves in my yard, and I've been wondering, I was going to call this other show and see what I should do about it. So that's super helpful. Thank you so much, you guys. I'm going to do that right now.
You're welcome. No, this has been 21 Cheat Street. You've been jumped.
You got jumped. 21 Cheat Street.
Hi there.
You're on the air.
Oh, hi. This is Prashudan Dave. I'm wearing a three-piece tux, by the way.
Dave.
Hope you guys like it.
This is
so embarrassing.
Oh my god.
I feel like a fool, but I might as well ask you my question. I want to be a fighter pilot really badly, and I've been trying to apply, but there's a height limit where you can't be taller than 6'1". I'm actually 7'6", and so I want to see if I can cheat my way out of this. So help me out here.
So basically, your concern is that you're too tall. You're above the required height. Do I understand you?
That's right, by almost 2 feet. A little less, but.
Okay. It just tears me up because, again, if radio did have some sort of video component, we could see that you were that tall. Uh-huh. We wouldn't have to take your word for it.
But, uh-huh. Yeah, but I guess we're going to have to take your word for it.
Yeah. What I would recommend is, you know, it's really tough, going to be tough to chop your way down to size.
Great.
So what I would do is I would figure out a way to cover the bottom, you know, 2 feet, however much you need to make up, with a pile of leaves. And then I would make some shoes that you sort of cut out. You can put them like halfway up your shins. Yeah. So it'll look like effectively standing on a pile of leaves.
Yeah.
Okay. I've been listening. I thought I was watching it, but I've been listening to the show quite regularly for the past 8 months. And a lot of your scams seem to involve leaves in some way. A lot of leaf play to cheat your way out of things.
I mean, where there's plenty, there's a solution is what I say. And that's why you're going to want to be in a place that has plenty of leaves.
Plenty of leaves. Yes.
Uh-huh.
Someplace where it's always autumn, never spring, never summer, never winter, because less leaves. And
oh my God, I literally live in a vineyard outside of San Francisco.
Oh.
The weather's always that way, and there's leaves everywhere. Thanks, guys. Thank you so much.
That's fantastic. Happy to jump you on 21.
21-23. You've been jumped.
Hey, how you doing? Hello?
Hello?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, thanks for finally taking my call. I've been trying to call you guys quite a bit over the last couple months, but you know, you're so popular, it's hard to get through. So I'm really excited that I got through to you guys.
Stop.
I'm
just, listen, you might want to sit down for this. I'm assuming that you got all done up.
Yeah, I got all these balloons so everybody can finally see me and kind of see, you know, and I'm wearing the same tuxedo that my father died in, which is, I guess, a weird thing to do in a lot of situations, but it's a nice tuxedo.
This is so hard, you know, I mean.
Please don't tell me this is audio only.
This is only audio only. I got it.
Oh, my God.
Tell you.
Oh, yeah. Shit.
I'm really sorry.
I'm embarrassed.
I'm really sorry.
I'm embarrassed.
It is embarrassing. It is embarrassing, but we're the ones who are embarrassed because you did something special by wearing that tuxedo, and I'm
so sorry. I mean, my father, he died in it. He died in this tuxedo.
And we send our condolences to everyone. Obviously, it must have been pretty tragic. It seems like he was probably dressed up for some sort of family event or something. You know, that just only compounds the tragedy. So just from the 21 Cheat Street family to you, we just say, you know, so sorry, but would love to hear about, you know, what you want to cheat, you know.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. It's very nice of you to say water under the bridge, you know. So here's my predicament. All right. My wife and I, we want to have a baby, right? So bad. We want to be parents, but we find sex to be disgusting. We also don't want to adopt or have a surrogate because we've got big egos. So how do we cheat our way through this? How do we beat biology?
Okay. Are you ready to go on a walk with me?
Yeah.
Now this is a sensitive question you brought to us. To clarify, you and your wife have been struggling. You want to have a baby, but
yeah,
sex is disgusting.
Yes.
And you don't want to seek out alternative scientific approaches. Medical.
No, we don't want to do that.
Type.
No, okay. It's fucking weird. Yeah.
I think, you know, the first thing that pops into my mind, and tell me if this is a bad idea.
All right.
Is you take a little baby blanket.
Yeah.
You take a little baby onesie.
Yeah.
You go to a field where it's always autumn, and you scoop handfuls of leaves, and you stuff the onesie into a little baby pile of leaves. You wrap it, you put a little beanie hat on it, and you stick a pacifier or a baby bottle or, you know, whatever you want to stick in the baby's mouth, just right in the kisser. And and then that's it. You raise that bundle of joy.
Holy
bundle
shit.
Of joy for a reason.
It's called a bundle of joy. Why did you
holy
you think
shit.
About that? Yeah.
That's perfect. I live in a field where it's always autumn. This is perfect. It's autumn 365 days a year in this field. It's so, yeah, that's the climate. The climate of this place is autumn. This is perfect. Okay. I'm going to go do this. You guys just saved the marriage. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I guess there's nothing else left to say, except you got jumped on 21 Cheese.
Hey, do you have time for one last caller?
Oh, yeah. Well,
you are already on the air, sir.
I'm a leaf baby that was caused by someone following advice on your show. I've grown into a full leaf adult now, and I don't know what the hell to do, because what am I?
Well, first,
what, I shouldn't exist.
First of all, I want to let you know that you're this is audio only, and we actually are a full-grown leaf human. I'm really sorry about that.
I'm wearing a top hat. I wore my top hat for this.
I'm sure the top hat looks great.
Yeah, this is tough. You know, this is tough. So what exactly would you like to cheat at? Just being
a person.
Being a human?
Oh.
Make me a real boy.
I mean, I'm just going to say it. I'm just going to come out with it.
Okay.
If only there was a place that was always autumn. And a leaf person, you know, they wouldn't seem so out of place, you know, just be like, oh, not that that's a leaf person, just, oh, that's a person, because everything's leaves. You understand what I'm saying?
And where so everything's leaves, everything's a person.
Rua Taslimi and DC Pearson. Oh, that's great, guys. That's so fun. How you guys doing? How you feeling? We've got another hypothetical situation here, but how are you doing in terms of your level of high? DC, check in with you. How are you doing, buddy, with anxiety?
I feel good. Yeah, I don't feel particularly anxious.
Awesome.
Different things are interesting to me than would be interesting to me if I wasn't.
Honestly, I want that to be the definition of high in the dictionary.
Yeah.
Different things are interesting to me than they would be if I wasn't this way.
Like, I have a literally on the table where we, you know, your quarantine table, how it just turns into everything on the table.
Yeah.
Have a unopened, like from the DMV car registration form. And so when you like car registration, I was like, whoa, man.
Oh, what a reminder, right?
And then also I can see something with a picture of a top hat on it on the same table. So when Drew mentioned wearing a top hat.
So you're on a level. You're on a level right now where you're like, you're finding serendipity in like whatever. That's dope. I like that.
If you keep enough stuff on your table, you're always having
all of that stuff now.
You gotta live like the usual suspects.
Yes, know, exactly.
Yeah. I love it.
Hey, stoners, for more information about past shows that we've done, future shows we're going to do, check out imtooeffinghigh.com.
Let's do this last hypothetical situation, you guys. Oh, sorry.
All right.
Just smoked some weed in. It's very good.
I feel like you might be... The, I don't know, I want to make the joke. I was going to, never mind. You know, when you bail on a joke halfway because you're like, I'm too high to figure out how to set this up.
I can't articulate it. Yeah. Okay. The next hypothetical situation is you both have requested a Zoom meeting or interview with the Olympic Committee. That'll be DJ Blue Dream and myself will be the Olympic Committee. Because you believe that you can do a better job of finding out which athletes are doping simply by asking them nicely. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? All right. Great. All right. Well, I'm sorry it was only the two of us that were able to make it to, you know, the Olympic Committee, of course, is normally much bigger than just the two of us, but unfortunately the rest of the committee wasn't able to make it, but
we're in charge now.
We're in charge now. That's right. But we're glad to have you guys in here, because
yeah,
when we do bring the Olympics back, you know, we gotta handle the doping issue. We gotta handle, you know, steroids, doping, all that sort of stuff. So I understand that you have, the two of you guys have figured out a way to truly, truly unmask. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yes.
Wow.
It's a foolproof technique. As you probably know, most blood work or urine tests has, you know, a decent error rate. And our method is 100% foolproof.
100%. Wow.
Wow. Okay.
And, wow. And is it chemical? Do you guys do you have some sort of technological advantage?
All of those things can be defeated. These tests can be defeated. As we've seen, anytime you create a testing regimen, somebody's going to figure out how to beat it because they're motivated enough, because it means a lot in terms of their national prestige. And so what we've settled on is, like, when you want to know the answer to a question, what do?
Yes.
Right. When you want to know
The answer to, I guess,
what am I doing right now? What am I doing right now?
You're asking.
That's correct.
I wanted to know what I was doing, so I
asked.
We asked. You're saying we asked them nicely whether or not they're doping. Huh.
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly.
You wanted to know. Yeah. You wanted to know what this was, so you asked us, and we told you.
Right.
Yeah.
That's interesting. Yeah. That's interesting. Now, I will be honest. I don't think we've ever just upfront asked somebody. That's actually pretty fair. I think normally we just give them random urine tests.
You know, we wanted to talk a little bit about how fear-based and punishment-based the system here seems to be. And in a time when I think we're learning a lot about how maybe these approaches aren't working, we could destigmatize these tests, build a community that is open enough to tell each other, hey, yeah, I felt the need to do this because of the pressures that were put on me to perform.
Yeah, when a parent, you know, is trying to raise their kid, are they trying to get them to do the right thing just so they'll be well-behaved while they're children and be less of a problem for the parent? Or are they trying to get them to do the right thing because they want them to do the right thing when the parent's not going to be around anymore? Because you know what's true? Parents die. They could be, you know, you could have like,
it's true. That's true.
1 minute your parent is there, you know, they're in a tuxedo, and the next minute, gone. You know, so they're not always going to be there to watch you. Similarly, we feel like we can build a system where we get the athletes themselves to, like my partner said, feel comfortable telling us, hey, you know what? I did this or I didn't do this. Because hopefully if they're in a place where they really want to not do it, they just won't.
So just to play devil's advocate, you know, for the other side.
Okay. I didn't know we were doing that this afternoon. That's big. Okay. That's big. All right.
Yeah. Toby gets a little sensitive anytime I mention the devil. He's very superstitious, let's say.
Okay.
I don't like the devil.
Okay. I'm not saying I like it. It doesn't matter. Here, what if we do a little role-playing scenario, right? Why don't you two... I'll be an athlete who's been suspected of doping, right? Let's say I'm in a session. What would you say to me?
Oh, good.
Why don't you have a seat?
Yeah.
So you do that. So that's what you do. You'd go up to them and then you'd both kind of like go.
Well, then we ask them to have a seat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Would you like tea, hot tea, herbal or caffeinated?
I'll take some herbal hot tea, please.
Honey?
Vanilla. Vanilla scented, please. Like a honeysuckle vanilla would be great.
Okay, great.
Wow, that sounds nice.
Sugar, milk.
I'll take, if you have like Demerara sugar, some sort of natural brown sugar, that would be perfect.
Demerara? Yeah, we have Demerara
sugar. And it's free trade and organic.
The Demerara is actually just organic, but we do have Lakanto monk fruit sweetener.
Okay, that'll be excellent. Okay. Yeah, thank you so much. Monk fruit sweetener is excellent.
You want a little like, we have those like little Pepperidge Farm like chessmen, just little.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Chessmen?
Yeah, those are delicious. Two, please. Thank you so much.
Okay, here's your vanilla honeysuckle tea with Lakanto monk fruit sweetener and your two chestnut Pepperidge Farm.
I'm so sorry. Can I get another packet of sweetener in there? I like it a little extra sweet.
Oh, yeah, no worries. The Lakanto is like twice as sweet as sugar, so I didn't want to overdo it, but here you go.
Okay, great role play. Let's pause it there. So it's a lot of just stuff. Bargaining over what type of tea this person will have.
A lot of, I would say, getting to know another human being that parts with, you know.
That's the hypothetical situation. Oh, man. It's so funny. I was like legitimately entranced. Is that the word, entranced?
Sure.
Yeah. By your tea specifics. Like, I almost felt like I was in, like, listening to what's the sound stuff on YouTube that people fall asleep to?
ASMR.
ASMR. Just like listening to these different words.
Demerara.
And these specifics for sugar. Yeah, I've never heard these before. It was very, I liked it.
Yeah, I felt like I tasted that tea by the end of the
Yeah, like, it was good. It smelled really good.
That's what I mean. It's like somebody should just do a show called, like, Let's Make Some Tea, or like Tea Time, and they just describe different teas.
Okay, 100%. I have been like, because obviously quarantine has changed my whole life and my creative work. I was like, what would I do a podcast about? And I thought, does anyone else, like, I love just describing food and whatever in detail.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, oh, what did I make? I love telling you, like, every weird ingredient and, like, and I'm like, does anyone else enjoy? And I enjoy listening to that. So someone else.
I do too, yeah.
Anyway, that's my podcast idea. Don't steal. Oh, no.
You just told.
I have a podcast where I cook on it. You should listen to my podcast and or take it over.
Okay, well, this is so rude. Talking, I didn't even know you already had this
podcast. It's just me talking about cooking and basically being like, literally being like, I kind of wish this was video so you could just see it. Kind of like
weird
radio scene.
Okay, well, I'm listening to your
podcast. That's the first half of it. And then the other half is I interview people about where cooking does or does not fit into their lives. But originally, because people could come over and then I could cook for them. Yeah. So like the first four episodes are pre-quarantine where I would do that. And then now it's just literally me like cooking a thing, and then there you go.
Oh,
that's awesome.
Let's strip it down. Just make
both of you guys, it sounds like both of you guys are pretty experienced or comfortable around the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. I love cooking.
Yeah, that's dope.
I've definitely been cooking. I'm not like a huge chef person, but so much more just because of quarantine, like just experimenting around with stuff.
Me too.
It's been a nice, yeah.
Yeah, I burnt the shit out of some salmon last night. I was real bummed about it.
Oh, no.
I know.
It hurts more when you ruin food.
Yeah.
Oh, it's the worst. Oh, man. I seared it. So I didn't sear it. I fucking scorched it. It sucked. I was so bummed. So speaking of, since we're talking about cooking, we'll actually start with this. We thought it might be fun, you know, before we do our you know, final challenge here at the end, just to start a little bit of a conversation here about cheating and how you might cheat at something if you had to cheat, right? Mm-hmm. And here we are, we're high, our brains are sort of elevated in a certain direction here. So, you know, that's the fun of exploring like how you might do it. So you were talking about cooking, and it's funny, we actually had this as an option. How, if you were on a cooking competition and you had to cheat, right? And I'm not saying that you can't, you're not talented enough to win it. I'm not saying that you couldn't do it. You had to cheat. How do you think you would genuinely cheat? What do you think is like?
I absolutely
you have to. You have to cheat.
I guess it depends on like what the rules are, because I'm kind of like, what, like?
Let's say it's like the final round of like a MasterChef kind of show. You know, you have like an hour. They've given you, you know what you have to cook.
Yeah.
But you just cannot do a good version of like a baked ziti, let's say. And you have to cheat at it somehow.
I'm gonna order it from the best place I've ever had it. I'm gonna like locate it, and then I'm gonna be working on mine, and I'm gonna like get sick to my stomach and be like, I'm so sorry. I know, it's just eating into my own time. they could make it a drama thing on the show, like Israel finished their dish on time. They had to go to the bathroom.
I love this.
And the postmated order is behind the bathroom thing, like in The Godfather.
Yes, like Godfather. I'm like, you see The Godfather, put it where he puts the gun.
The idea of somebody like of on one of those shows where they do the thing where it's clearly like they're shooting the show, and then there's the part where it's like, we're not supposed to see this part of the whatever, but this
right.
really feel candid. Like, I'm just
feeling
like the camera swinging over and seeing like the chef, and then in the door frame, like, Postmates person.
Just like, I yell at the Postmates person. I'm like, you're in the wrong place, man. And then I like
then having to like take it out of the container.
That's so funny.
Plate it is very funny to me.
That's really funny. DC, do you have any ways?
That was my first thought as well, was just order it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
That's very funny.
I mean, what's your other option? Like, sabotage your other competitors?
That's what like, one of our audience members says. Swap all the other chef's ingredients. Vengeance Goon says sugar becomes salt, salt becomes sugar. Like,
that's fucking good. Smart and diabolical.
Yeah. And this person's name is Vengeance Goon, so there's something. Like
Vengeance Goon.
Vengeance Goon.
See you.
I love it. How if you were ever on, are you guys both familiar with The Price is Right?
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah. Do you think you could cheat on The Price is Right? How could you cheat on The Price is Right if you had to cheat? You had to. You're a sociopath. You've got to.
You had to.
You need it. You need it to feel whole.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I am a sociopath, so.
Yeah, exactly.
This is The Price is Right.
I don't know if I know The Price is Right well enough. It's just guessing prices?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much. There was someone who gamed the system. There's like a documentary on Amazon, on Prime mm-hmm. about it or something, but it wasn't cheating. It was like someone who memorized the prices of a bunch of things, like obsessively, and watched the patterns of the show.
I mean, I don't think that's cheating. I think that's working hard to do all of the show.
Agreed. Yeah.
Kind of, right? Yeah. Like, he memorized all that shit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Anyone can do that.
Impressive.
Yeah. That's pretty great.
You should be rewarded.
Yeah. I mean, DC, do you have anything?
I don't, I'm struggling. Again, all of my things I'm thinking of would just be like just trying to be good at the show. But
yeah.
I mean, it's so impossible, but I would try to sneak Google it.
Sneak Google.
But it's so stupid. Like I think that. I'm like, oh, I'll just like but there are times that you try to sneak Google stuff even when but not on camera. You can't.
I guess if you can
at a party back when those were a thing, did you ever like see someone you're pretty sure you know, but you're not sure, like, or you don't remember their name or something? Like, have you ever like Googled someone at a party to try to be like, oh, that's or whatever? Mm-hmm.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Or like Facebook, or like tried to figure out what their name was because you thought like, I think it's this person.
Yeah, you've met them like twice.
I got a cheating idea. I got a diabolical cheating idea.
Hell yeah, what is it?
Okay, so I get there early, I pretend I go smoke by the like exit entrance where people that work there do stuff. I make friends with someone who works on the show, and I'm just like, oh, this price is right. Oh wow, that's cool. What do you have up today? And I just friend them into telling me what stuff is on the show. It'll work. I'll just keep bringing
up. So you are relying so hard on your charm and your ability to be able to con somebody, essentially. Wow.
Yeah, and then I'll look at the price book for like 5 prices I can memorize. And
I like that. What do you guys think? Sorry, go for it, DJ Blue Dream.
I was gonna ask you another one, but finish what you're saying.
Do it. No, oh, okay. Do it. Yeah, I was gonna say.
How would you guys cheat on a driver's test? So you're physically in the, it's you in the car with a driving inspector or whatever.
Yeah, can you cheat on a driver's test?
If you had some sort of like, I feel like this wouldn't, the thing that they have is not something that actually is going to like make it harder for you to pass your test. But I was thinking for some reason, it was making me laugh, the idea that like, you know how the driving instructor has the pedals as well? Like they have a brake pedal,
oh, yeah,
whatever, on their side. The idea that you would then have another brake pedal, like that, so it's basically like their pedal is like overriding your pedal, but you have a pedal that's overriding theirs. That made me laugh. I don't know if that would actually work to cheat at all, but I just like you then being like, but I really
I
have
like it. Power. That's really funny. It feels like a great vaudeville bit.
A third smaller pedal.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. Damn.
I like that.
Also really Ruhan? Funny to me because like why would you ever use that?
It's just to stop unless you're being like what
like well,
it's like, to stop
like the idea is that like the idea is that the teacher side also like can make the car go when you're trying to stop.
Right.
So that's very funny to me, is that like you break, the teacher's like, no, go, and you're like, no.
Break.
No break. what is my idea for cheating a driver's test? Pretend I know how to fucking drive. Okay, so I get there early. I go to the bag. I'm like, who's? I find the person I'm scheduled to take a test with. I'm like, these tests, right? What are you?
I love it. Let's jump to this last segment here, shall we? This last segment is called Dank Night Talk Show.
Oh shit! Sorry.
If anybody who watches this show or listens to this show, you know that once per episode, DJ Blue Dream just doesn't have a sound cue set up for a segment, and that's the beauty of the show. DJs are artists. DJs are artists, and sometimes they don't play anything, and that's a part of their art.
Yeah.
DJing the world's is all about the cues you don't play.
Exactly. DJing is all about restraint. That's what DJing is, understanding restraint.
That's true. Don't ever go to Vegas with James.
That's right. All they do is play music the whole time. They don't hold back at all. So... DC, this is your late night talk show, okay? You're high, and so you're the host of this talk show. It's called Night Talk with DC, and you have on this show three guests, and they're all surprise guests. You have no idea who they are, and Ruha is going to be each guest, each character. They will turn their camera on, and each time, and then they will be a different character that you will have to interview. Does that make sense? Awesome. Great. I'm going to turn my camera off, and DJ Blue Dream can be your co-host. And then whenever you're ready for your next guest, Ruha will come on, and you'll interview them. Cool?
You got it.
Awesome. This is Night Talk with DC Pearson.
Hey, how you doing, everybody? Welcome to Night Talk with DC Pearson. We are
Night Talk.
Go. That's right. Give it up for my lovely assistant, musical genius, DJ Blue Dream, everybody.
Smoke weed every day.
Ooh. Yeah. I love everything. Yeah, I love it. I love it. We're going to go the topical monologue because everything is too depressing. Let's get right into our guests. First guest, oh man, I have no idea who this is, you guys. And you can tell that it's, oh, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome an avocado.
California, here we go.
What's up, avocado? Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. What's up? And
thank you for singing your own walk-on music. I really appreciate it. That was, I believe, California by Phantom Planet.
So that's right, Phantom Planet, California, the theme of the OC.
Theme of the OC.
Yeah.
Man, have you ever listened to that song on a road trip, avocado?
Have I? I drove all the way from Gilroy to Santa Clarita. And we on.
Now we're talking right into the heart of the OC, I think. I'm pretty sure. Just imagining, this isn't a question, but just imagining an actual avocado driving like a, you know, convertible, listening to California by Phantom Planet.
Hey, are you my stalker? I didn't tell you it was a convertible.
I just figured, you know, it's Cali, you're an avocado. I just figured.
Are you sure you're not my stalker? Because I've been getting weird notes. Can you write a quick note for me so I can tell? It just needs to say.
Oh, you want me to write out an actual handwriting sample?
Yeah, I want to see your handwriting sample to make sure you're not my stalker. It's got to say, I'm going to make you into guac.
I'm sorry? I'm going to make you into guac?
Yeah.
Okay.
Take a guac on the wild side. Take a guac on the wild side.
I'm just writing it.
Okay, hold on. Let me.
Sorry.
Okay, it's all caps. That checks out.
Checks out as not being the stalker?
Yeah, that checks out as not being the stalker.
I mean, I'm very relieved. I don't know why I'm so relieved, because I knew I wasn't, but for some reason, just maybe it's because I was raised Catholic or something, but like being in that environment, it made me be like, oh shit, am I your stalker? Even though I know I'm not.
Wait, you know? What if you are?
I don't think I am though.
Well, now that you don't know, it tells me that like, perhaps you're aware that you've been losing time, and perhaps during that time, you have a different handwriting.
Oh, it's like a Tyler Durden thing? Spoiler alert for Fight Club.
Fight Club nerd alert.
Avocado, you're crazy, man.
California.
Let's bring out our next guest.
All right. Thanks so much, Avocado.
Oh, yeah, Rob's.
And you are in stores right now, right? You're in stores?
I'm stocked and flying off the shelves. Come and get some, honeys.
You're stocked and stocked.
Yeah.
All right, give it up for Avocado, everybody. Let's please welcome our next guest to Night Talk with DC Pearson.
It's Night Talk with DC.
DC. Please welcome my next guest, Batman.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh my God.
I'm happy to be here in California.
Oh my God, Batman, you just broke the glass on the camera.
There's someone behind you.
What?
Don't worry, I got him with my bat.
Oh good, thank God. I'm so glad you were here.
Me too, I hate to say it, but it's my first time in California. Took a road trip.
It's Batman's first time in California. I guess I never asked myself if Batman had been to California.
The answer is no. Batman has to stay in Gotham all the time.
That makes sense. You don't have to get so close to the camera.
Oh, shit.
Whoa! Batman, I feel like you've hijacked our like
you know, video system or whatever, and you're applying your own like transition effects and things. Oh my god.
Batman, please me, stop me being a nonstop vigilante has nothing to do with special effects. Listen, there, I thought I was gonna have a break, but turns out there's still crime here in California.
Oh, so you were just out here purely for a vacation?
Yeah, purely vacation and to do the. There's people walking behind you.
The assistant camera people are rapidly trying to change these lenses out. You're just, as soon as they change them out, you batarang them again. Also, can you please explain to me why your eyes are glowing? Are you some sort of demonic Batman variant that I'm not aware of?
Am I a demonic Batman? What you're asking me?
No, Batman!
Yeah, take that. Sorry, take I shouldn't have asked that. Yeah, I'm okay, possessed. I'm Batman possessed by a demon.
Oh no!
Yeah, better get a priest in here to exorcise me. What the hell?
I mean, I don't know who our next guest is going to be. Maybe there'll be a clergyman or somebody who can
exorcise. Let's bring him out.
The Joker! The Joker! I gotta go!
Okay, all right, bye, possessed Batman, possessed California Batman. Let's welcome our next guest. Next guest, please come on out.
Our final guest of the evening.
Punk Pickle. Hey, Punk Pickle.
Hi, white man. Wow.
Okay. I'm sorry. I wasn't. I guess I shouldn't have assumed that just what you present as is also your name, that you're synonymous with that. I apologize.
Yeah.
What's your name?
Punk Pickle.
Okay.
But it's not okay that you. I know you didn't know it.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, I understand. My apologies. I shouldn't have assumed. I should have asked what your name was immediately and not just referred to you as Punk Pickle, even though that is your name.
It is my name. It is my name, but I know you didn't know my name. Thank you for apologizing. I accept your apology. So it's my first time here in California.
It's also your first time in California.
Yeah, of course it is. I'm from London, can't you tell?
Oh, I see. You're like a real, like old school Sex Pistols era punk from the UK.
That's right.
If you're from the UK, would you like some tea? I can fetch us some because I know.
Oh yeah. So would you like
what kind of tea do you have? Do you have do you have vanilla honeysuckle?
We actually have a hibiscus honeysuckle, so it's a little bit different.
Do you have a vanilla anything?
Ice cream, vanilla ice cream, but it is vanilla bean, like not French vanilla.
Oh, okay, perfect. I'll take the hibiscus honeysuckle and I'll take 1 teaspoon of the ice cream in the tea.
Sorry, one thing is making me just feel a little self-conscious, DJ Blue Dream. I feel like we shouldn't offer tea to our last guest. I mean, we should offer tea to our last guest, but we should maybe retroactively offer tea to the other guest.
That's right. Why don't we bring, let's bring our other guest back and offer tea.
Get off me! What? I was manhandled. I was in the middle of a fight with Joker.
What kind of tea do you want?
That's what I think about your tea. What kind of tea? What kind of tea do I want? What kind of tea do you have? I love tea.
We have a.
Do you have a strawberry cream green tea?
Yes. Yes. You have a strawberry. We do have a strawberry cream matcha, actually, if that's okay.
It's matcha specifically? Oh
yeah, it's matcha green.
I'll take it.
Okay, great.
Oh, do you have any vanilla anything?
We have a vanilla oil, but I don't know if that mixes too well with it.
Can you pour a little bit of the vanilla oil in a mister and just one little spritz?
Sure. Also, would you like with an avocado or without an avocado?
With an avocado.
I don't know if you should offer. What? If you should, because one of our other guests is an avocado, so just.
What?
What? What? What did I just hear?
No, I'm just trying to.
No, what did I just hear?
No. Avocado, look,
You're my stalker. You just offer up.
look at the thing.
That's Dank Night Talk Show. Oh man, guys, that was so fun. What a blast! What a perfect circle of storytelling that the avocado in the beginning was. Come back around and end up being the one eaten.
Yeah.
Wheels within wheels, man.
I know.
Wheels within wheels.
Really so smart.
Organic.
Yeah. Oh man, what a blast. Thank you so much for coming on the show again. DC, where can people find you? Do you want people to find you on the internet, social media, anything like that?
Yeah, they can follow me at DC Pearson. And like I said, my podcast is called Stay for Dinner, and it's a home cooking podcast that comes out every Tuesday. So check it out.
Hell yeah. Awesome. Check it out every Tuesday, Stay for Dinner with DC Pearson. Get high, smoke a joint, smoke a bowl, eat an edible, and listen to a cooking podcast. That sounds lovely. How about you, Ruha?
You can find me trapped at my house. I'm Ruha Taslimi on Instagram, my full name. And that's it for now, baby.
I love it.
Maybe I'll get to do Drew's Drew's future show idea.
What? What was it? I'm so high.
Oh my gosh. I DJ Blue Dream. I think it's called a Blue Dream.
oh, yes. Now I know. Okay. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll figure this whole Zoom thing out more. Now it's just...
Yeah. Well, we got 100 years to figure it out. So.
Oh, God.
Well, thanks again, guys, for coming out and, you know, getting high with us, being hilarious, helping us prove to the world that cannabis makes everything funnier. That's the point of the show. And check out imchuffinghigh.com for information on any upcoming shows. Also, follow us on Instagram or Twitter at imchuffinghigh. We do live streams right now every Tuesday and Friday at 6 p.m., plus the podcast as well, which also comes out every Tuesday. So check that out. Stay 2FN high, you guys.
Hey guys, I'm Stevie Nelson.
And I'm Dave Horowitz.
And we're the hosts of I Burn Everything.
It's a podcast about food and relationships, which, you know, if we're being honest, are two out of the three things people want to talk about anyway.
What's the third thing?
Netflix.
Okay. We'd like you to rate, review, and subscribe if you like it. Anywhere you listen to your podcast, Apple, iPod,
Stitcher.
Do you still have iPods? If you have an iPod, do it on an iPod. I don't know.
If you have a Zune,
do it on your Zune.
It's probably hard to even charge them now.
Yeah, good luck. And if you have a Tamagotchi, you can't do any of this.
Yeah, you can't stream audio on a Tamagotchi, but you can feed them.
Yeah, you still
so
keep
feed
feeding
those little buggers. They're hungry. Bye.
Bye.
Campfire.